The Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus told them a parable about the need to pray always and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, grant me justice against my opponent. For a while he refused. But later he said to himself, though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I'll grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. I invite the children to come up. I guess they're all older than children, right? Okay. Well, we'll just start in. It's true confession time, because this is something that happened when I was their age. I was in seventh grade, and we were learning the underlining of sentences. Do any of you remember doing that?
Yes.
A few of the older ones. Do they do that today yet?
No.
They don't do it today. See? Well, we got to that section in our English lesson, and I handed in my paper, and the teacher took one look at it and gave me an F. Said, go back and do it again. Well, I wasn't very happy with her. But I went back to my desk and I tried fiddling with it some more. Then I took my paper back. She hardly even looked at it. And she just crossed it off. Said, this isn't how you do it. Go back and do it again. Well, I stomped back. I was not a happy camper at all. And I worked on it, and I grumbled, and I complained, and I thought, this is the stupidest thing. Why would anybody underline or outline sentences? It's just stupid. Why would they be able to do that? I don't want to do it. I took my paper back again, and she said, you're going to stay after school today. And you're going to stay here until you get it. Well, I stomped back to my desk, and I was absolutely certain that I would see the sun rise the next morning because this stuff just did not sink in. At 4 o'clock, that was when school ended, the teacher brought her chair back to my desk when all the other kids had left. And piece by piece, she showed me how to do it, and all at once, something clicked. And I said, oh, I know what subjects are. I know what predicates are. I know what pronouns are. I know what adjectives and adverbs and all these things are. I can put them on those lines. Man. Well, Mrs. Wilson became my hero that day. If she had not kept on keeping on, if she'd given up, I would have given up too. There are times when we can't give up. We have to just keep on keeping on. In a book entitled When God Doesn't Answer Our Prayers, the author talks about how from the widow to Jacob to other characters in the Old Testament, the fact that God didn't answer their prayer the way they wanted him to at that time actually drew them closer to God. And it was a good example for us of what happened with many of the people. You know, we have Jacob, who was a scoundrel. from the beginning, from birth. He cheated his brother out of his birthright. He conned his father into giving him his brother's blessing. Then he went off to live with his uncle, and he cheated his uncle in order to get the wife that he wanted. And then something happened, and his life changed. And he wanted to make amends with his brother, but he was afraid of his brother because his brother had promised to kill him on sight. So the night before he's to meet with his brother, and he is really worried, he actually sends his family and all of his possessions across the river to keep them safe in case his brother attacks. And that night, he wrestles. This scripture says a man, in another passage, just an angel, who wrestles with him all night long, puts his hip out of joint, and Jacob finally says, "What's your name?" And there he gives him a blessing. And he changes his name from Jacob, which means thief or supplanter, to Israel, the God's people. And whole life is changed. Only because Jacob didn't give up. He kept on wrestling with this one until he received what he wanted. Well, if you think about people like Moses, can you imagine what it would have been like if Moses had gone before Pharaoh and Pharaoh had said, "Forget it, he did say that, I'm not letting those people go." 10 times it happened. But Moses was persistent, kept at it, until finally Pharaoh let go. But he could have given up again once when they reached the Red Sea. I mean, here's that sea. How are we going to get across? He could have said, "Let's just go back and be slaves. We're fine." But he didn't. He kept on asking God to help him, and they made it through. He could have given up when they ran out of food. He could have given up when they ran out of water. He could have given up when they made that golden calf. He could have given up when they were bitten by snakes. All the whole journey through the wilderness, he had plenty of opportunities to say, "Oh God, this is too much for me. Is it just forget it all?" Imagine Joshua. He's at the gates of Jericho, and he's told to march around 7 times. Supposing about the 5th or 6th time, he says, "God, this is ridiculous. My feet are tired. My back is sore. I don't want to do this anymore. It's just a waste of time." It's as bad as outlining sentences. Well, he didn't know about those. But each of the characters of the Old Testament go through these periods of time where they struggle. And it seems as if God will never answer their prayers. And then all at once, wow. The walls of Jericho come tumbling down. In the New Testament, imagine what would have happened if the Canaanite woman who brought her daughter who was dying, and when she saw Jesus, she said, "Oh, he's too important. I won't even bother him." Or, like last week, we had the 10 lepers. What would have happened if they hadn't bothered to call on Jesus? What would happen if other people have done that? This woman in the gospel today is in that position where she is, it's a parable, it's a story, but she is needing justice. Now, a widow was the example of about the lowest person on the totem pole. Because if her husband has died, the law would have said that everything he owned, the house, everything she had, belonged to his brother, not to her. And she's asking for a livelihood because her husband has died. And finally, this judge says, this is ridiculous. I'm gonna give it to her just to get her off my back. And Jesus says, you know, if an unjust person, judge, does that, can you imagine how our just and loving and merciful, grace-filled God won't do the same for us? And he calls upon us to be persistent. That's what Paul says in that second reading to Timothy. Timothy is at his wit's end. He's got a congregation that's fighting with itself. They're in trouble, and they've also got outside influences causing problems from persecution. And Timothy is evidently at that point where he's ready to give up. But Paul, if there's anybody who should be ready to give up, it's Paul. Remember? From the time that he begins to preach, he's persecuted. He's thrown in prison and beaten. He could have given up. He was stoned. That's when they throw somebody off a cliff and then lob great boulders on him to kill him. He survived it once. He could have given up. He survived another stoning. He survived many times in prison. He survived a shipwreck. He snake bites. This is a guy who is sitting in prison awaiting execution, waiting to have his head chopped off. And he writes this message of hope and perseverance to Timothy. He says, we heard last week, the gospel is not chained. Continue, persevere, keep preaching it, share it with everybody. Be persistent in all that you do so that the word of God can spread. Years ago, we had I was in a church where we needed to have a big building program. It was going to be a little over $500,000 building program. So we had a professional fundraiser come. And of course, they review all your church records and come up with a plan. And the one thing that he told us was that, well, the reason your budget is in trouble, because it was, the reason it's in trouble is because he quoted James chapter 4, verse 2. You don't have because you don't ask. James says the same thing. You don't have what you really need because you don't really ask. You're not persistent in prayer. God calls us and gathers us together to be his people. But sometimes we fall back. And we think, well, he didn't answer that prayer, so. But remember, God answers prayers in many different ways. Sometimes it's what we pray for. And sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's what we never even thought of praying for. But God does answer our prayers. And he calls upon us to be persistent. To not give up. It's a lesson that every Christian needs to keep in their heart. To remember, it's so easy to give up in every area and aspect of our lives. It really is. Unless we keep on keeping on. Another thing this fundraiser said was, not the fundraiser, but I heard on I'm not a sports fan, but there was a one of those pregame things, and they were talking about a team that was expected to lose. And one of them said, you know, wouldn't it be better if they just throw in the towel now? And the other one said, the easy way of losing is to give up. Many people give up before they give God the opportunity to change things. There's a little town called Mondamin, Iowa. Anybody ever been there? A couple people, yeah. Okay, Well, Mount Damon is somewhere between Sioux City and Council Bluffs. It's off the main Interstate 29. It's a dinky little town. If they have 100 people in that town, I'd be amazed. But it was the center of a commercial. I don't like commercials normally, but this is one we would always stop and watch because it was so neat. It was centered on this little town of Mount Damon, and because in that town there is it was a commercial for Old Home Bread. Anybody remember Old Home Bread? Yeah. And there's a cafe there called the Old Home Filler Up and Keep On Truckin' Cafe. That's actually the name of that cafe. We've eaten there. It wasn't much of a cafe. In all honesty, it really wasn't. But they made this commercial, and the guy who is a truck driver who always passes through Mount Damon, he goes through it an awful lot. And he's got this girlfriend who waits on tables there, and there's quite a romance that starts up. But I like the name of that. And I thought, wouldn't that be neat if we were the St. Luke's Keep On Truckin' Cafe, not cafe, but church. Fill her up and keep on truckin' and keep on going. Because it's so easy for us to look at what we don't have and say, we look around, we have all these empty pews, and there's just not a whole lot going on. Maybe we just ought to close the doors. But that's not what God called us to do. God calls us to allow Him to use us to make things happen, to keep on keeping on. May God bless us to be St. Luke's, the filler up and keep on growing church. Amen. The hymn is 742. What a friend we have in Jesus. This is the Jesus who calls us to prayer.